Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome. It is so wonderful to connect with you. You know, I just love that you are somebody who is here, who's continuing to expand your mind and your consciousness and your energy. You know, to me, there is nothing more important that we can do for our lives to take them to the next level than to really understand what's going on inside, to heal ourselves, change our life. I mean, it's truly incredible what we are all capable of. And so I love that you're somebody who's here. And also, I have a special announcement that I know is going to be exciting for a lot of people, and it's this. You know, all of the time, I get a lot of questions coming in, of people asking about things like the technical stuff, about energy and how it works, and they have all kinds of questions or even a lot of misconceptions and different things like that about energy. And what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start adding in a bonus, what I call an IQ segment, which is basically for insights and questions. And in that segment, it'll just be a short segment that has it like an extra bonus insight, something to do with energy or how it works, or an insight or some misconceptions, because I know that there are a lot of misconceptions that also keep people stuck or even end up making them go backwards or attract negative things that people don't realize are going on. And so all of the time, you know, in these episodes, I'm usually trying to keep everything very simplified. So it's simple to do to get results. So you can see people healing themselves and creating radical changes, because I also know that is so important. I mean, going through my injury, one of the things that helped me the most was just at least even having hope that it was possible. And not only that, but there's also a major misconception in the spiritual world or self-healing that it's going to take years and a long time to be able to get results. And so people are meditating for years and years and years and not getting the results. And they think, you know, they're waiting on the universe to provide results or waiting on their body to heal. And that was the same thing that I thought. I thought, you know, my body's just going to take a long time to heal because I have such a major issue and et cetera, et cetera. And so point being, I definitely want to keep those results. I think it's powerful. And even today's session is really powerful and some awesome takeaways. But I also want to just add in a bit more of the technical stuff, how it works, energy, and answer some of your questions that are coming in and all of that. So by the way, that said, if you have been stuck with a burning question, definitely make sure to send it into my team and we'll see if we can get it in the lineup of these IQ segments that are coming out. So anyway, that is in the works and it's headed your way soon. So just keep an eye out for that. It's key. And by the way, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, you'll want to make sure to do so just so as the episode does come out that you do get a notification. All right, so there's that. And speaking of questions, one question that I tend to get a lot from people is how checking into somebody's energy works and what I'm doing to be able to feel their pain and what that feels like when I'm checking in. And, you know, I got to be honest, that is probably the hardest question to really answer. And the reason for that, you know, is if you think about if somebody asked you what it feels like to be able to see things or what it feels like to hear things and how that goes when you hear something, you know, and how you do it, you would think, well, I just like listen to music. I can just hear it, you know, or with seeing, you'd be like, well, I just open my eyes. I can see things. And so with working with energy and feeling what other people feel, the more I worked with my mind and really cleared old patterns and cleared negativity, the more my mind opened up to being able to feel new things and opened up to energy. And that's what was key, was just really doing my own work. And it opened up to more and more information. So that really is the way that I did it. And also, you know, it wasn't something that I actually intentionally did. In fact, like, it was kind of a surprise to me. And initially what happened is that people around me who were having some health issues, you know, I started feeling what they were feeling very intensely. Like, for example, the very first time it ever happened, a woman had walked into my office. This was after I was better, a couple years after I was better and healed and all of that. And she walked into my office, and before she even said anything, my right kidney just started throbbing really intensely. And then as she walked in, she said her name and she said, "Oh, you know, I have kidney problems." And I was like, "Yep, got it. And let me guess, you're a right one?" And she's like, "Yeah, how'd you know?" And I'm like, "Good guess," right? Because at the time, I wasn't ready to say, "Well, I can feel what you're feeling," because it just happened. And that was really outside of the box for me. So remember that, you know, prior to my injury and all of that, I did network engineering and operations. I wasn't into the spiritual thing or self-help thing. And, you know, I grew up feeling and believing that psychics were frauds and anything outside of that was all woo-woo. And so for me, all of a sudden, to feel what she was feeling was mind-blowing, okay, and painful. And so I had to figure that one out. But it kept happening where, you know, somebody would come in and they'd have a knee problem, and suddenly my knee would be just raging with pain. But the great thing is that as soon as I just said, "Oh, okay, you're having a knee problem," and as soon as I just started checking into the energy of it, like just looking at it and understanding what the knee needed, just like when I'm working with somebody, a volunteer right now, where I work with a volunteer and I check into what the body part or what the issue is going on that they're having and help them to change it. I mean, that's exactly what I started doing, just kind of innately, you know, because once I knew that they had that issue, it was like, okay, well, let me just understand what the body is saying. And I started just getting information. And then being able to help the person process the information. And I know that may sound weird to some people, especially if you're somebody new to the podcast, but of course, if you've been listening for a while, that probably makes a lot of sense. But that's where I was initially. I was like, wait a second, what's going on? And then I just kind of innately kind of fell into it, like my brain knew what to do, and I started doing that and learning and then getting faster and faster at it. So that's really ultimately what happened. Now, also, there was a process of definitely thinking it was the weirdest thing ever. And at first, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm crazy. And luckily, I happened to mention it to somebody in my life, Tina, who is just, she's just still to this day, my closest friend. And she's a beautiful being. And I happened to mention it to her. And shortly after I mentioned it to her, she happened to see a special, you know, something came up about mirror touch synesthesia. And if you're not familiar with mirror touch synesthesia, it is a medically verified anomaly that happens where one person can feel what another person's feeling. And so from that, I said, oh, okay, well, first and foremost, I'm not going crazy. This is an anomaly that can happen to people. And that allowed me to say, okay, let me just look at this and be open to all of it. And you could call it something like mirror touch synesthesia, or you could call it quantum entanglement with non-locality, or you could call it like an empath on steroids, whatever you want to call it. That's basically how it opened up. And that's what I experienced, is that initially it was feeling somebody's pain. And then ultimately what happened is that I started being proactive about it. So instead of avoiding it and avoiding checking into their energy and seeing what was going on, because that's what I had previously been doing, I wasn't paying attention to what the body was actually saying. And so now that I just go in proactively and ask and listen in and get the information, now I don't feel the pain in my body pretty much never. The only time I ever do is if I go in all of the way. And I know that's a little bit hard to explain. And I think the best way to do it is actually further in the episode as we start working with today's volunteer. You'll notice when I'm checking into her energy, and I'll explain even more then. So I know it's clear as mud right now, but I'll break it down even more as we go to give you more of an idea, if you will. And so on that note, let's go ahead and dive into today's volunteer session. And I have to say, our volunteer today, her name is Julia, and she really opened up in the most vulnerable way. And I give her so much credit and props for that. Just the way that she opened up and shared was just really in a very sensitive and very delicate. And I have to say, the whole episode, it just has some unexpected twists and insights that are really powerful. And also, this episode has some really powerful and simple takeaways that you can implement in your life today. So I love this episode for so many reasons, and Julia is really just a sweetheart, and let's go ahead and get started. Here's Julia. Hello, Julia.
Hi.
How are you?
Nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm okay.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to meet you. And you're doing okay?
Yeah, things in the UK are a bit up in the air at the moment, much like the rest of the world. So yeah, it's challenging.
I hear you. It's a definitely a very different time, right? A very transformational time
yes,
in many different ways. So absolutely. So what is going on with you today?
I've had health problems and pain for many, many years.
I don't recommend that for actually anybody.
No. I mean, I've had health problems since kind of the age of 13, and I'm 37 now, almost 37. Yes, it's been a long time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. So what's been bothering you? What specifically is going on?
I actually said to someone the other day that it feels like my body picks a symptom for the day and is like, right, we're going to hit you with this today. Do you know what I mean by that? So it's not really consistent. So I get a lot of muscle and joint pain. But sometimes I can go weeks with like hardly any. And then I will have days of just writhing around in bed because I can't, you know, the pain. I mean, you know what that feels like.
Yes,
and then I've had IBS since I had thyroid surgery, which was when I was 20. So since then, I've had stomach problems, mostly linked with anxiety.
Okay, so linked with anxiety. You said thyroid surgery. Was it something like Graves or what was going on then?
Yeah, it was Graves, yeah.
Okay.
So I was diagnosed with Graves at the age of 13 and then had my thyroid removed age 20.
Okay. And so that would make sense why the random joint pain. Bingo. Okay, and as far as right now, are you experiencing any physical pain right now?
Yes, my body aching is probably at like a 4 today. It's not too bad today. But stomach wise, yeah, my stomach hurts, but then I'm anxious.
Okay. And what's the level of pain in your stomach, would you say?
Probably like a 7.
7, ouch, okay. Not fun. And why are you anxious?
Because I'm talking to you.
So they told you I'm scary.
No. It's a new experience kind of thing.
Absolutely. I totally understand. I understand. And my reputation is that I'm a pretty scary person.
No, not really.
Not really.
No.
Not really. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you just for a moment to take a nice deep breath. And there's nothing scary about being lovingly supported, right?
Absolutely.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe in. And just take that in for a moment of the awareness that we're just going to find a way to lovingly support you. We're going to look at what's going on and just look at lovingly supporting you. And so I'm going to ask you to breathe and remind yourself that you're safe and you're supported and you're wonderful. All right, so here we go. Bingo. All right, so we know where we're going, and bingo. All right. And so if I ask you, bingo, level in your stomach right now, what do you feel?
7.
That's what I got, about 7, 8 even, right in there.
All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a quick moment. You know, to summarize, she has a few things going on with her body. She mentioned that her IBS stomach pain is about a level 7 and that her body aches are about a level 4. So that's what we're going to be working with in shifting those. And also, for the record, we did establish that I am not scary and just being silly with that, but there is a little insight here, and it's this, it's that notice, I kind of had to address that emotion to keep going, because if I just left that there, it is an emotion, it is an energy, and it would make it hard to get the results and where I want to take her. And so that was just a quick silly comment to kind of help her to start to move past that. And so we can start diving in. Also, another quick insight is I did mention there when she mentioned that her thyroid had been removed, and I said, oh, okay, well, the random joint pain, that makes sense. It wasn't necessarily because the thyroid had been removed. It was actually just the energy that I was tapping into that was connected to something that was there but missing. And so it all made sense there. And something interesting to note, by the way, you know, all of the time people will have different surgeries or things removed and the energy of it is like still there. And so if you are somebody who has had a surgery or something removed, I'd highly recommend still making sure to really release that emotional link that was connected, because all of the time I see it still influencing the body. And on that note, you know, something that is really fascinating, if you're familiar with Kirlian photography, it's basically a photography that can take a picture of the energy of things. And it's actually the electrical coronal discharge between objects. And very simply, let's just say it's like the aura of an object. And it can take pictures from like any type of object and see the energy around it or the aura around it, if you will. And it can even be an inanimate object like a quarter or, you know, a rock or something like that. Or it can even be live objects. For example, a well-known picture with Kirlian photography is actually a leaf. Now, what is fascinating about this is that with a leaf, they've taken leaves, you know, with like 5 fingers. So it's got like 5 little sprouts of the leaf in each direction, 5 fingers on it. And where they'll actually rip off one of the tips of the part of the leaf and then take a picture with Kirlian photography. So you're still seeing the aura of the leaf. And what's fascinating is that that finger of the leaf that was ripped off still shows like it's there in a lot of cases, or even partially there, but you can see the energy outline of it. And so anyways, it's kind of hard to explain. And what I'll do is on my website under this podcast episode, I'll go ahead and leave a link there for Kirlian photography so you can see some of the images. But my point in sharing this is that all of the time when I see people who have body parts that have been removed, like the gallbladder or thyroid or different things like that, I can still see a lot of times the energy of the body part that was removed still being there. And I've also had a lot of people who've gone through my courses and stuff like that who have been still experiencing pain or issues around a body part that is no longer there, or even surgery where they still have issues and or the issue shows up in a different part of the body. I see that all the time too. So anyways, point being is that that's what I was saying when I said, oh, the random joint pain makes sense, is because I was seeing energy and it all kind of linked up for me on where was what was where. So anyways, so there is that. And again, simply, if you have had a body part or something like that removed, I highly recommend doing some energy work around it and make sure that it is good with your body all the way. And also, my point was, is that when I mentioned that, you know, oh, the random joint pain makes sense, that is what I was referring to. And so that is, of course, where we're going. We're going to be working with that body pain and the stomach pain. And that said, let's go ahead and dive back in with Julia. Bingo. All right. So that's where it wants me to dive in. Okay. So I was going to dive into a more sensitive, more easier place first, but it looks like your body wants to go straight to the point. Okay. So,
sounds you're like me. Fun.
Does that sounds like you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it's saying. All right. So there is a feeling of feeling like you are a bad person that did start at the ripe old age of about 3. So I'm pretty sure it must be true.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Mm-hmm. Bingo. And if I ask you how much you can find the feeling of feeling like you're a bad person, like you're really actually a bad person underneath it all.
At that age.
Even right now, how much you can find that feeling of feeling like you're a bad person. Even if it doesn't make any logical sense. What's that?
It's pretty high. Yeah.
Pretty high. First and foremost, awesome self-awareness. Awesome self-awareness. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And what I really want to talk about is how many banks you've robbed this week.
Unless what do you mean none?
Okay, so none. Okay, well then, I mean, like, how many cars have you, like, hijacked this week?
None.
Okay. Okay, but you're a bad person though, right? Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you, are you 100% sure that you're really actually a bad person? Like 100%?
Not 100%.
Okay. When, how much are you sure that you're a bad person? 0 to 10. 90%. Okay. 90%. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I am going to tell you really quickly. I'm going to go, your body, I'm going to help you. And your body wants me to go really direct, which of course sounds very much like you, as you mentioned. Yep. And so we're going to go directly in. And if for any reason at the end you want to change your name, then we can do that. Okay. We can make it Sammy or something like that. I want to make sure that we're going into where we need to go to help you. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And if you're 90% sure that you're a bad person, why would you say you're a bad person?
Just from things I've done in the past that I shouldn't have done.
Okay. And when you think back to the past, and you think about the things that you quote-unquote shouldn't have done, how many people would you say died from those things that you did?
None.
Okay, well, how many people did you harm in doing that?
Emotionally upset some people.
Okay, so you hurt some people's emotions. Okay. But did you harm them? Did you physically harm them?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Okay. And is there something specific that sticks out that you want to share, or is it just a series of events in general?
Yeah, a series of events relationship-wise.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And your body is wanting to go very direct. So if I ask you, what is the quote-unquote bad thing that you did?
Infidelity.
You know, I want to start by telling you, you're the only person in the world who's ever made that mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe. Okay. And if I ask you how long you've been holding that against yourself, how long would you say that is?
Yeah, like 6 years.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And do you have any kids?
I do, yeah.
Okay. And wouldn't it be awesome if you took your kids and you like punish them for like 6 years?
No.
Why not? I mean, that makes logical sense to punish somebody for 6 years, right?
Not really, no. It doesn't seem fair.
And it doesn't really seem fair, does it? Okay. So, and how old is your eldest?
He's 11.
Okay. Wouldn't it be great if you think back to something that he did when he was five and you throw it in his face literally like every day? I mean, that would be amazing, right?
No.
No, doesn't seem so fair, right?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe for just a moment. And by the way, I'm sure your son's never made a mistake before, right?
No, everyone makes mistakes.
What's that?
Everyone makes mistakes.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Everyone makes mistakes.
Okay. So you would say that your 11-year-old is unfortunately just a bad person, right?
No.
No?
He's the sweetest kid ever.
But he's made mistakes before, right?
Yeah.
So clearly he's bad.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe.
All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a quick moment and a couple quick insights. You know, first and foremost, every single person has made some type of mistake at some time. And it's easy to just go into a place of judging yourself or criticizing yourself or even judging others and saying, oh, well, I would never make that mistake when somebody else did. And a lot of times I even see people who end up making a mistake that they never thought that they would make. And really what's most important, of course, is how to move through it and get to the other side once you're in that situation. Because if you just stay stuck in the situation, unfortunately, life tends to spiral in a negative way. And it's not good for anybody. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people around you. I mean, it's not going to help anything. And so if you have made some type of mistake, there's two questions that you'll want to definitely ask yourself. And number one is, what is the best way for you to move forward now? And maybe that's an apology. Maybe it is doing something to then reconnect with people or fix the situation if you can, depending upon, of course, what the mistake is, you know, but simply asking yourself, what is the best way to move forward and the kindest way to move forward from this place? So that's number one. And number two, you'll want to ask yourself what it is that you need to do to make sure that you don't make the same mistake again. And typically, there are both practical things that you can do, like thinking about small steps that you can take to ensure that you don't fall into that same behavior again. And that's one thing. And the second thing is that you're going to want to look at your subconscious programming, because a lot of things that people do, a lot of mistakes that people make have to do when they're in a highly emotional state. You know, things like getting really angry and they make bad choices. And so, you want to look at what led to that anger or lonely or connected or even, you know, a lot of emotions regarding sex or food or
shopping, you know, and people go buy things that they then beat themselves up for or make a mistake or whatever it is, or feeling not good enough or whatever it is. And you want to make sure to look at what is the subconscious programming and the emotional programming that ultimately wound you up in making the mistake that you did make. Obviously not so you can berate yourself about what happened, but so you can really look at the situation and change that. You know, even if you look at drugs, a lot of times people will have things linked up in the subconscious mind where they have certain beliefs about drugs or feelings about drugs or feeling not good enough or all kinds of feelings, and alcohol or different things like that. And you'll see people make those same mistakes over and over and over again, even when they tell themselves they're not going to. And that is because there can be all kinds of emotional beliefs and links at a subconscious level that fuel their behavior and create that repeated mistake that they continue to make. And so that said, of course, no matter what the mistake is, you'll want to make sure to assess it and ask yourself both of these questions, not so you can berate yourself and be hard on yourself, but so you can look at them and really make it to the other side of an issue. And what that subconscious programming is might surprise you, and it's probably different than you would think when it comes to Julia's situation. And so that's where we're going as we go ahead and dive back in with Julia. And I'm going to ask you to bring in this same awareness. If I ask you how much people would say that you're a really sweet person, how much would they say that is true?
Probably a 7 or 8.
Okay. And even though you're sweet, much like your son, you've also made mistakes, much like he's made his mistakes, and you probably should just hold yours against yourself forever. Indefinitely, right?
No.
Okay. No? Okay.
No.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I want you to think about how great it's going to be next year when you still feel bad about this same situation. And the year after that, and the year after that. It's going to be amazing, right?
No. That would not feel good.
Right? What's that?
That would not feel good.
That wouldn't feel good at all. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to stop judging yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I do that a lot.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. Yep. I would say you've been doing it pretty strongly since about the age of 12. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And would you be willing to start really shifting that, to really start feeling and being kind to yourself?
Yes.
When?
Now.
Now?
Yeah.
I like that. All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And if I ask you 0 to 10, how much you're certain that you're a bad person, how much would you say that is?
2.
2? Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. And the goal is just to never make the same mistake again, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I ask you, do you ever think you're going to make that mistake again?
I hope not.
Okay. So you hope not. What could you do to really be certain that you won't ever do that again?
I don't know.
Okay. So one might be if you said, okay, if you ever start to develop any type of feelings, that becomes a red flag for you to then go the other direction. Is that a fair statement?
Yep.
Okay. And if you did that moving forward and you noticed that first onset of going, oh, okay, I need to do this differently, and it was a red flag in the beginning, how successful do you think you would be in the future to make sure that that never happened again?
Yeah, much more successful.
Okay. And so if I ask you, if you really followed through with that, how much you could trust yourself that it would never happen again?
Yeah, I could trust myself.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And if I ask you, bingo, in high school, how much you felt like you were a bad person, how much would you say that is?
Probably a 7.
Okay. And bingo. I'm going to ask you to breathe. So this is something you'll want to notice, is that if you feel like you're a bad person, you're going to keep attracting situations where you feel that make you feel like a bad person. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So it's just going to continue on and continue on and continue on. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I want you to notice this feeling of feeling bad and feeling like a bad person. Mm-hmm. Bingo. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and keep it and let me know how that goes for you.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, no, you go ahead and keep it. I don't want it. You go ahead and keep that feeling and let me know how that goes for you.
I don't want it either. No.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe. And I'm going to ask you, are you willing to change?
Yeah, I am willing to change.
Great, so I'm going to ask you to breathe. And there is this feeling, a feeling that not only like do you have you felt like a bad person, but it's almost like you, the lack of a better word, it's almost like you dig at yourself. Like you're very, very, extremely critical of self. Can you see that?
Very, very, all the time.
Yeah, like what is that?
I don't know, just
like
a desire to be perfect in every single possible way.
Great, so I'm gonna have, let's try an experiment, right? So for the next week, I want you to take your 11-year-old son, and I want you to just grind him on everything, super critical, right? Just for a week, and then we'll see how perfect he becomes. What do you think?
Yeah, it won't change anything. It'll just make him feel terrible.
It'll make him feel terrible.
And
okay, so I'm going to ask you, and unloved, and terrible, and absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you to breathe, and you should just not do it to him. Just keep doing that to yourself and let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
Not so much, right? So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Good, good, good. Okay. And so we talked about feeling lovingly supported, right? Feeling lovingly supported. I'm going to ask you to breathe. Okay. And I'm going to ask you to breathe and I'm going to ask you to picture what lovingly supported would look like in your life. Remembering that all change starts from within. Mm-hmm. That all change starts from within. So would you be willing to take that voice on the inside and start creating that change?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just notice what that would sound like to yourself. So I'm going to ask you to just say something positive and supportive and loving to yourself on the, with your inside voice. Inside your mind. Notice what it feels like and what it sounds like. And I'm going to ask you to breathe. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm going to ask you to breathe. Bingo. All right. So I want you to notice the level in your body and the level in your stomach. What's your level?
Probably 4.
Okay. So about a 4 in your stomach or in your body?
Stomach.
Mm-hmm. So your stomach, so about down from about a 7 to about a 4. Okay, great. And in your body aches, what's your level?
So the 4.
That's what I was about a 3.8. So right in there, about the same. So about a 4. Okay, so give me 1 second. Okay.
All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a few quick insights. You know, first and foremost, she is doing so awesome. I have to say, I just have so much respect for this woman because of just her level of honesty and transparency and vulnerability and ability to just share and be open. I mean, that and also, of course, she's starting to create the shift. So she's got her pain down in her stomach from a level 7 down to a 4. So you can see it's starting to come down. So great job on that, which is really impressive. Also, something you'll want to note is that if you see yourself as a bad person, then what happens is it becomes part of your programming and you end up acting
like that and making a lot more mistakes. Just like if, let's say, somebody sees themselves as being an awkward person or uncool person, and then they are walking around and they feel like they're being that in some way, shape, or form, because that starts to show up in their behavior or whatever it is, you know? Or if somebody really saw themselves as being like a cat, you know, starting to exhibit cat-like behavior or things like that, but which is obviously a bit of a silly example, but just saying the point and the power of the identity of self, if you see yourself as a bad person, you will subconsciously end up navigating in that direction of feeling like you're making mistakes in your life, and therefore that you'll continue to see yourself as being a bad person. Which, if you think about it, and you think back to earlier in the session, when I started talking to her about this feeling of feeling like a bad person, the age that came up for her when it started was age 3. Now, when you stop and think about it for a moment, what ultimately happens is when somebody really feels very strongly like they're a bad person, very strongly, then what happens is that they end up attracting situations and circumstances and following through with actions that they then see as being bad. And it just continues as a cycle. And the thing of it is, you know, as you could probably sense from Julia, I mean, she just has the biggest heart and is so sweet and just really genuine. And you can probably even sense that from her too. I mean, just a really beautiful being. But she unfortunately has this other pattern that's going on. And if this has been a stuck spot for you, you'll want to remember that you have to get to the point where you're really willing to be loving and kind and supportive of yourself. That's the only way to really change it. And so it's something that's just going to continue to show up unless she creates a real shift around it, which is key also for healing. And so it's something that's just going to continue to show up in her life unless she really creates that shift. And so that's key as well, as starting to create that change around her identity of being a bad person and really being able to shift that in her subconscious programming. And of course, there's more coming. So there are more things that we're going to also identify and work on shifting, because, you know, as you can see, her pain's gone down a little bit, but not all the way. So that is key, and that's where we're going. Now, another thing I want to touch on is, in the very beginning, I mentioned that when I check into people's energy, that there was a way that I did it to where I didn't necessarily have to feel the amount of pain and go in all of the way. And so that's why you'll notice I'll ask somebody what their level of pain is, and then I go in and look around, because then it makes it faster that I'm not scanning their entire body, or I'm not having to scan an entire area. I'm looking for specifically what they're feeling. And of course, I can kind of feel around in the peripheral, but it makes it faster for me to check, and I don't have to go in all of the way, which is nice. And I know that might sound really confusing, and I guess a great way to illustrate that would be to say, you know, if you walked into a house and you didn't know what you were looking for, but you were looking for some type of something to be off. Okay, now you need to walk through the house and you need to kind of look at everything and see what is off. Compared to if you have direction, it says, oh, there's something off that's in the house at a level 4 and it's in this area. Then I can walk into the house and just go find and look for what it is specifically, and of course look around in the area just to see anything else, but it makes it a lot faster, a lot easier, and I'll have to dive all the way in. I can just go in and be specific to it, which is what we want anyway, because when you're working with the mind and energy, there's always changes that you're going to want to make and growth that you're going to want to create, and, you know, creating even more love in your life and even more happiness and even more money and even more success or even more whatever it is. I mean, there's always things that you want to continue to grow and expand and enjoy, and it's awesome. And so when you're specific about it and you go in and you change something specific, it makes it nice to just get results and then keep going. So anyways, point being is that was just an example of how I can just ask her before just going to check for myself, but asking her first what she's feeling, then I can go in and just look for what she's feeling left. And of course, check around in the area. So it's not just looking at it, but it's close and it's just faster, if that makes sense. So, all right. So again, I'm trying to explain it. And it's definitely one of those things that's a little bit harder to explain because it's also a very kinesthetic experience, you know, like trying to explain what it's like to feel love. And it's also so natural to me now that it's just, you know, it's just part of my being. So anyways, that's kind of just another illustration, and I'll kind of try to continue to break it down even more as we continue through the episodes to kind of give you even more of a sense of an idea, but that kind of helps kind of put the pieces together, hopefully more. All right, so anyways, just a simple illustration, and of course, coming back to the big picture was the thing that really made the biggest difference was healing myself and understanding how to really shift my subconscious mind and create changes at that level. And so that said, let's go ahead and dive back in with Julia to help her continue to create that shift to release her pain. Here we go. Bingo. Okay, so there's another piece and it says this. Can you see the part of you that feels there's a feeling of feeling like not knowing how to move forward in life. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe and you laugh. And bingo. And if I asked you if, bingo. And if I asked you if life moved forward the way you wanted it to go, what would happen?
I would feel happier.
Okay. You would feel happier. And if life moved forward and you were happier, what else would happen?
I'd be healthier.
Okay. You'd be healthier. Great. And if I ask you where life feels stuck to you, where would you say it feels stuck?
With my health. And relationship.
Bingo. The relationship. Okay. Yeah. And so if I ask you, bingo. So if I ask you as far as the infidelity, if I ask you, are you in that same relationship still?
With the person I was unfaithful to. Yes, I'm still with that person.
Uh-huh. Okay. And if I ask you how, bingo. So if I ask you, bingo, if I ask you how you can take your relationship to the next level, what would you say?
I don't want to. That's what I'd say.
You don't want to. Okay. And what does that mean? Unpack that a little bit more for me.
I'm not happy in my current relationship.
Okay.
But I feel very stuck.
Okay. And
just me having to be very honest.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if I ask you, by the way, how long you felt stuck, how long would you say that is?
Many years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 or 6 years.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a quick moment. You know, all of the time I hear people say that they feel stuck in one area of their life or another. And I get it. You know, I completely understand. I was there. I have absolutely felt stuck. I felt so stuck in life during my injury. And it feels hard. And I absolutely understand that. And I also want to remind you that if you are feeling that way, it's very clear that what you'll want to do is really start changing on the inside, is you'll want to get clear and start working on creating a radical shift on the inside. Because, you know, when you stop and think about it, if you know that your thoughts help create your life, and your thoughts are that you're stuck, well, then ultimately, you're just going to end up still feeling like you're stuck. And by the way, I say stuck, but a lot of times when people say they feel stuck and they just stay there, things tend to get worse and worse. They tend to have this problem and that problem on top of it. So it's not really ever actually stuck. A lot of times it's continuing to also attract negative things simultaneously. So it's not great, of course. And so ultimately, the best way to think of it is, you'll hear me say this over and over because it's so true, is that if you ever feel stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know, where you feel stuck between two things, the only way out is up. It's to lift yourself. And that's what you'll want to remember, is that if you feel stuck, you want to lift yourself, lift your programming, and purposely work on feeling good. And, you know, when you feel worse and worse and worse, it just makes you feel like you're more and more stuck, okay? So just a quick note on that, just because I hear it so often. And that said, let's go ahead and work on getting unstuck and dive back in with Julia. All right, so I'm going to ask you to breathe. Okay, and I want you to notice, you mentioned that you feel stuck inside the relationship, right?
Mm. Yep.
And if I ask you, why would you say that you're wanting out of it, or no longer wanting to be in the relationship? Why would you say that?
It just doesn't feel right.
Okay.
It feels lacking in ways that I can't fix, is the best way to put it, really.
Okay. And if I asked you to name one of those ways that it feels lacking, what would that be?
Being able to be open and vulnerable.
Okay. Being able to be open and vulnerable. And by the way, if you are open and vulnerable, what happens?
I get shut down or criticized.
Mm-hmm.
We have very different viewpoints on things at this point in life.
Okay. And very different viewpoints as far as just life in general and like spirituality and life. Yeah. Or would you say, what's that?
Yeah, mostly like spirituality and stuff.
Okay. And you would say you get shut down and criticized, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you guys got together, when you first got together, were you able to communicate and be open and vulnerable?
I wasn't as open as I should have been, really.
Okay. So you've grown in a way that you're more open and sharing now.
Mm.
Okay. Bingo. Give me 1 second. If I ask you how much you feel like he understands you, how much would you say that is?
4.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. And if you knew that he could understand you, would that change anything for you?
It just feels like it's gone past the point of being fixable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to breathe. All right. So let's go ahead and actually pause the session right here, because there's a lot of different things that are coming up right now that really can be helpful for a lot of people in their lives. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of take some of that information and have you see if you can implement a bit of this in your life. You know, when you stop and look at it, I hear this all of the time with people in general, where they continue to change and grow and maybe become more spiritual, and they start to lose connection with their spouse or their partner or their family and those that they love. And it just gets more and more disconnecting and isolated. And of course, growth is great. It's beautiful, and that's absolutely what you want to do. But you also want to make sure that you still have a way to connect with people, because that in itself is really important as well. I mean, our souls, we're spiritual beings. We need love. Love is like soul food. And so if people are finding themselves more and more spiritual, but also simultaneously more and more disconnected from others, that's not ultimately where you want to be. And by the way, the other day I saw this meme and I actually posted it on Facebook. I loved it so much. But in this little picture, it's like this little cartoon meme picture. There's a butterfly and a caterpillar sitting at a table, like getting ready to eat lunch. And the caterpillar says to the butterfly, "You've changed." And the butterfly's little bubble says, "Yes, we're supposed to." And I just love that so much, because all of the time you'll see that where some people are feeling like, well, others have changed and they're upset about it. And then others feel like, yes, they're growing their wings and they're expanding and continuing to grow. And they should. That's what we want to do as human beings. We want to continue to grow and flourish and spread our wings, you know, and become that beautiful butterfly inside and out. And so I love that meme so much that I had to share it, because it's so true and so many people experience that. And what can also happen is some people, they immediately say, well, I've changed, and they do disconnect from others. And you don't necessarily want to do that if you don't have to, you know, because everybody's not going to be exactly like we are. You know, in my life, my family is much different than I am. And I've found ways to connect with them in sweet, fun little ways that make it fun for them. And you know, the way to think about it, because all too often in spirituality, people start to say, you know, I have a completely different way of looking at the world, and I just can't connect with others anymore. But if somebody who is Christian said that, or somebody who's Jewish said that, or Islam said, well, I just have this completely different way of seeing the world, and so I can't connect with others anymore, we'd be like, well, wait a second. You can still connect with others. And honestly, it's the variety and the differences. It is beautiful. You know, I got to tell you, I love every single volunteer that I have had on my podcast. I love each and every one of them so much, even though I just met them, you know, as they're just coming on the podcast. But it's just a beautiful feeling of being able to connect with them. And I love that feeling of connecting, even though we may have completely different things going on, obviously, in life. And there's still a way to connect. And obviously, ultimately, you want to connect with people through positive ways. And so that is my suggestion, is to really think about that for a moment and think about what it is that maybe you can do to connect with some of the people in your life. Not because you're exactly the same. You don't need to be, and you don't really want to be exactly the same as everybody. But maybe something that you can do to connect with them so you feel connected, and also maybe you help them to feel understood, and maybe you let them understand you so it feels like a really beautiful, solid connection. And so that's one thing. Now, another exercise that I did with Julia was a little bit ago, I asked her to just kind of hear what it sounded like to have a really kind, supportive voice in her head. And if you are somebody who's been extremely hard on yourself, then I'd challenge you or invite you to try to work with this exercise a bit, just kind of hearing what it would sound like to have your internal voice being kind and loving and supportive to you. Okay? So those are the two exercises that I would invite you to do. Maybe pick one or the other that feels most fitting for you and see if you can start to incorporate this in your life. And then ultimately what we'll do is we'll dive back in with Julia next week, because in the other half of this session, there are also a lot of really powerful insights. And of course, we're going to continue to work with her physical pain as well. You know, if you recall, her stomach pain is down to a level 4, which initially was at a level 7, and her body pain is still around a level 4 of pain, which is around where we started. And so far we have been setting up a good foundation to create the shift, but really going in to create the shift is what we're going to do on the next portion of the session. I just really wanted to take a moment and allow you to integrate some of these key insights that can be powerful for your life, you know? And as we go to create that shift with her pain, all of the time I hear people, they think, okay, well, it's just mind over matter. You got to just push through it. And notice when you stop and think about it, I mean, pushing through stomach pain or body aches, it's not really gonna get you where you want to go. And by the way, I definitely tried that so much in my life where during my own injury, like I would start making some progress and I just was in such a hurry to just do it that I just tried to push through. And there were also a lot of things that I felt left out for, you know? I mean, like different events that would happen, or my family would go skiing and I couldn't join, or, you know, and sometimes, like, I mean, there was like a time for my cousin's wedding that I like tried to push through and just take extra medication and just push through and use my cane to keep going and walk a bunch with my cane and all of that. And I think like the next day, you know, depending upon those couple of situations, you know, ended up in the emergency room the next day because I was just trying to push through and push through with my cane and do everything that I could, and it didn't work. And so remember that that change, that shift, that's ultimately what you want to do. And I'm not saying don't try and have effort, because there was also a time when, you know, as I was getting even better and better, when I was working out in the gym and I was really, you know, giving it everything I had. So that was a different phase in my recovery. But my point being is it's not all about pushing through. It's about really creating that shift. And so with these exercises, take, again, whatever one feels great to you and see if you can work on starting to implement that and feel a bit differently in your life. All right, so that said, we're gonna go ahead and continue with the second half of Julia's session on next week's episode. And we'll tap into the insights that come from that and the subconscious programming and what else was really there that was needed to help create that shift and help her to release her pain. And so that's where we're going, because it's not as straightforward as it would seem, and it's actually something that a lot of people experience that was actually going on underneath it all in the subconscious mind that even started back in childhood. So a lot of times, you know, as you'll start to notice, things with the subconscious mind don't always make logical sense. And so that's where we're going with Julia on the next episode. And by the way, that reminds me, there will also be the IQ segments of insights and questions. And so if you do have any questions, make sure to send them in to my team, and also make sure to subscribe. And so when those bonus segments are released, that you get notified. All right. So that said, it has been such a pleasure connecting with you, and I look forward to taking it to the next level on the next episode. I'll see you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. All of the time, people reach out and say how much these episodes have given them hope or touched their heart or helped them stay positive in hard times or even woken them up to a completely new level of awareness of how amazing we all really are. If today's episode touched your heart or expanded your mind in any way, please do me a favor and be sure to share it with those you care about or those you know who really need it. As more and more people become empowered, it really will change our world for the better. That is the point and the power of these demonstrations, is to create a radical shift in our world consciousness by showing everyone what we are all capable of. And of course, each volunteer will really need to follow through to reinforce their programming to maintain their results. But the point is for you to see that you really can create rapid results in your health and your life if you really understand how to use your mind. You're incredible. And I do want to be clear, though, that most people will not get results this fast on their own. I make it look very easy because of the discoveries that I made. You'll want to remember that there's so much more going on in our minds at a deeper level than people realize. That said, if you want to send me any questions or comments, come visit me on my website at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you do have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctors. Instead, you'll want to continue seeing them and make it your goal to blow their minds with what you're capable of with your mind. Thank you.